Good day, friends. We're glad to join your family circle with the word of the Lord before us on the broadcast today. As we get into this broadcast, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Will you join us if you care to do so and can? Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy great presence at this day, grateful for the preservation of our lives throughout the past week and throughout the days that are even before that. We're grateful for every blessing thou hast bestowed upon us, and it's a wonderful opportunity, Father, to sound forth thy glorious truth, the gospel that truly is your power and a salvation to the many who listen in this area. We are glad for the power of the gospel. We're glad for those who have turned to the Lord. We're thankful for brethren in Christ Jesus that are supporting this broadcast, and we're standing behind the proclamation of thy truth. May they have strength to live the Christian life. We pray for those who are in sin today. Many of them may be hearing this broadcast. We trust they will see the need to come to the Savior, realizing that he can give them rest from their labor and can make their life worthwhile in the days that lie ahead. We pray for the sick, and also, Father, for those who are discouraged today. We pray for those who are in sorrow over the loss of loved ones. We pray for our nation and nations of the world. May men be conscious of the outstanding fact that thou truly art the maker of this universe, that you have given a plan that will cause man's life to be at peace with thee. And when we can see to be at peace with thee, Father, it gives us the vision to learn how to be at peace with our fellow man. Be with us now in this proclamation that thy name may be glorified. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. As we continue on with what God and Jesus has said, I want to go to probably four of the, well, I can't think of words being any worse as they are put together, telling us any sadder story than what we have in Romans 1:26. I want to read these four words in your hearing. It simply says, God gave them up. And you know, the more you think about what it means for God to give a person up, it's really a serious situation. You see, the heart of Pharaoh back in the Old Testament in Exodus was a hard heart. God could see the type of person he was, and as things continued with his stubbornness, God even hardened his heart. And also we find the scripture teaches that God will send people strong delusions that they might believe a lie and be damned. But the point is that that person has come to the place where God has apparently given him up. If you have your Bible open to the first chapter of Romans, you'll note here that Paul is dealing with a degenerate state of mortal man upon this earth. We want you to notice in verse 20 from this first chapter of Romans, if you're following, and if you're not and you can write the reference down, just begin the sequence right there. We won't have time in this quarter hour to deal with all of the things that are found in the last part of this first chapter of Romans. But I want you to notice this principle now. This is the way the whole thing begins. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, the things we can't see, are clearly seen. What's that mean? They're understood. You know, we often hear people say, well, I can't see a certain thing. They're not talking about their vision at all. They're talking about their understanding. Or a person may say, I can see that now. It isn't something he's looking at with the naked eye. So here it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful in their imaginations. See, they turned their back upon him. But the first thing is that the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So there really isn't any excuse in the light of this scripture why man should turn his back upon God, why he should fail to glorify God. But let's tie that right in with what we said just a moment ago. Because of when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That was their first step away. Now notice this whole thing's going to end up with God giving them up. What I want you to think about on the broadcast today along with us, do you find yourself falling into the snare of the devil here in any of these points? You see, you may know to begin with that there's a God. I talked to a man just the other day. In fact, I've talked to a lot of people in years past. But I'm thinking of one man who said, well, he was convinced in his mind there wasn't a God. And I said, well, I'm sure you don't really believe that. Well, he said he did. And we talked for quite a while, and I never did get him to really say, well, I can see that there probably could be a God, but I told him to keep searching, told him to keep looking. Well, the fact is that here these people knew there was a God, but they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. And how important a part thanksgiving plays in our progress in life toward God and the heavenly home. But you see, these people had the opportunity of knowing him. They had the opportunity of knowing what his way was, but they failed to glorify him as God. They were not thankful. They became vain in their imaginations that we mentioned a little bit ago. And their foolish heart was darkened. See, in one verse, how far these people have gone from God. They're going to get to the place of where God's going to give them up. Now, in their foolish heart that was darkened, the verse says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Imagine a person wandering around in darkness, as the scripture states here, putting out that he or she are a wise person. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, what did they have to offer on this descent? Well, here's what they did next. They changed or they exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, they actually got down to the place of where they began worshiping the beasts of the field. You know, this was one of the problems that the Israelites had when they got to Egypt. Not alone did the Egyptians worship cattle, and the Israelites had to be put in a certain section of Egypt, you know, a certain section there that would actually indicate that they were going to be separate from the Egyptians because the Egyptians worshiped cattle. The Israelites didn't worship cattle. In fact, the Egyptians worshiped about everything. That land of Goshen that was apart from that was certainly an outstanding area for these people because they would have run into trouble with the Egyptians that even worshiped the beetles and the scarabs of the field. So the point is that man gets to the place of where he puts those things that God has created above God. They become his God. And consequently, he comes to a place of where his foolish heart becomes more darkened, and he worships these things. Now, when they reached that place, God also gave them up. And the thing that followed when God gave them up was a cesspool of iniquity. I was talking to one of the brethren in the Lord some years ago, and he had found that 19 civilizations that had reached the point of decay that was reported in our own country at that time had fallen. When you look at the annals of history, and I'm sure there are a lot of you that listen to the broadcast today that know a lot about the historical accounts, and you find these nations going down, 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 when they turn their back on God, when people become more interested in the things that God has made and they begin to glorify them and hold them up as gods. And this is evident in the pleasures that people are seeking once again in the world today. You know, when you read about the fall of Rome and you read about Pompeii and you read about those accounts in history, people say, well, those are things that took place in the past. But have you stopped to think? As you look about you in the world today, how we are on a so-called roller coaster as a nation, going down the same way. You know, the baths that they used to have in Rome and in Greece and all those places. This became a cesspool of iniquity. And I heard a report here just the other day that we're getting back to that. And people are just becoming more like the pagan nations of years back. Now, you may say, preacher, you're a prophet of doom. I'm not a prophet at all. I'm just simply taking what the Bible teaches here, and I'm pointing out that we have a similarity. Men are reasoning or are turning their back upon God and are going away from him. Certainly all are not doing this, because if all were doing this, this world wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be broadcasting to you today. God is not going to permit evil to triumph completely over good. Now, when God gave these people up, well, what'd they do? Well, down in verse 23 or verse 25, we have another step. Who changed the truth of God into or for a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. And then here you've got this cesspool of iniquity again. You see, why is it that when men follow human doctrines, they don't become pure? They become more licentious. They become more ungodly. They follow a course that is unrighteous. They follow a course that is decay. And what's going to happen if God gives these people up? Who's going to receive them? I remember Peter saying in John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who are you going to turn to when you turn your back upon God? Well, the only thing you can turn to is the devil. And this picture of iniquity that we're not going to read on a broadcast day, but you can read it in the last part of this first chapter of Romans, is an eye-opener. And homosexuality and ungodliness that's on every part of our sight about us today is just a repetition of what is stated here that was the case among many of the Gentiles in the first century. Well, we're going to have to close on the broadcast this morning, but it's been good to have this opportunity being with you. This is brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ with a sincere desire that you will come to know about God's truth more completely. And we've talked about a very weighty subject on the broadcast today, four terrible words, God gave them up. I hope you'll take time, if you haven't at the broadcast time already, to really sit down and read closely and clearly what this first chapter of Romans teaches. Again, I say we're not a prophet of doom. We're simply offering what the Bible teaches, and we know that if we sow to the flesh, the book says we'll reap corruption. But isn't it wonderful? If we sow to the Spirit, we can reap life everlasting. And we encourage you to sow to the Spirit. We encourage you to follow the Lord. Hear His word today. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ, that you believe He is the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ. Then go on to serve Him. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that brought you this broadcast want you to keep in mind that the Bible is true and that God is eternal.